This is Ozarks at Large for Wednesday, October 3rd, 2012. I'm Antoinette Grada.
And I'm Kyle Kellums. Support for KUAF is provided by the 7th Annual Cherokee Art Market, featuring 130 Native American artists, along with interactive cultural demonstrations, October 13th and 14th, inside Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tulsa. More information available at CherokeeArtMarket.com.
Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, a local illusionist escapes from handcuffs inside the KUAF studios. Also, Fayetteville prepares to host the individual World Poetry Slam.
Plus, the words of women inside the Northwest Arkansas Community Correction Center will be part of a theatrical production later this week. But first, state finance officials are expressing concern about new revenue numbers out yesterday for the month of September. While Arkansas is taking in more money compared to the same time last year and is above forecast for the year, state economist John Shelnut notes that the last few months have been disappointing.
The sales tax was below forecast. Again, this is the third consecutive month. It was below forecast by 3.9%, and that was the result of low collections across both households, retail, and business consumption. So it's a concern, but it was made up for this month by individual income tax.
The state's net available revenues for September totaled $494 million. Overall, the state is $42 million above forecast.
Arkansas recently joined the fray of states supporting the development of compressed natural gas vehicles. According to thecitywire.com, Governor Mike Beebe on Monday joined a 22-state effort to convince automakers to build more affordable compressed natural gas vehicles. Although the state is only the latest to join the effort, a localized effort to push development of CNG vehicles is taking place in Benton County. Tomorrow morning, Benton County Judge Bob Kleinard will host a Northwest Arkansas CNG roundtable.
It's an attempt to bring awareness to the people in Benton County and also the potential community, not only the individuals, but corporations, school systems, and everyone to the possibility of using CNG fuel in our vehicles.
He says the U.S. has more potential for natural gas production than it does crude oil, and that a switch to CNG would prevent the U.S. from being as subject to fluctuating oil prices set by countries that are less than benevolent to the U.S. economy. He says if local governments like Benton County join the push for CNG, then the fuel's viability increases.
There's private companies that want to come here and put in CNG stations, but they want to see leadership from the judge and from our mayors and from our city councils and from the private sector, that if they put stations here, people will commit to convert their vehicles to natural gas.
The forum is from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Shoemaker Center on the Northwest Arkansas Community College campus in Bentonville.
Residents enjoying the early fall colors at Beaver Lake may have noticed some colors that weren't in the trees. Algae has bloomed on portions of the lake, but Assistant Lake Manager Michael Richards says the algae blooms won't stay around for very long.
The algae bloom is really very sporadic. It shows up and could be there like maybe a day, 2 days, and then just disappears. It blooms very fast and is dissipated by, you know, wind or any time changes in the water temperature or air temperature. And it dilutes pretty well, too, as far as that goes. It's an algae that normally blooms, you know, whenever conditions get right, drought type conditions or warmer weather, those types of things.
Richard says the blue-green algae, known to scientists as Osculatoria limosa, should not be a concern to residents turning on the tap for drinking water.
The drinking water that is pulled from Beaver Lake from the different sources, they treat the drinking water for all kinds of things, including algae and other types of elements that are in the water to render the water safe for human consumption.
Richard says the algae typically forms on the lake during the transition from summer to fall.
The University of Arkansas in Fayetteville is advising students and faculty that temporary network outages could occur between Friday and Monday. The outages are expected as construction crews will be required to shut off chilled water to Bell Engineering Building during construction at Ozark Hall. According to a press release, the Bell Engineering Building is a major distribution point for the campus network, and water is used to keep critical components cool. University IT services will monitor temperatures and power down equipment if necessary. For For a full list of buildings that could be potentially affected, visit newswire.uark.edu.
This morning, Ozark Regional Transit released ridership numbers for fiscal year 2012. According to the release, the transit company saw just over 296,400 passengers on all of its routes, representing a 12.3% increase over fiscal year 2011 totals.
The city of Fayetteville will give away free mulch during the month of October. According to the city's website, while the excess supply lasts, residents can pick up tree mulch at the city's compost facility on Armstrong Avenue during normal business hours and from 8 a.m. until noon on Saturday the 6th and Saturday the 13th of October.
Razorback men's golf team had a terrific Tuesday. The team finished the Olympia Fields Fighting Illini Invitational with a 13-stroke victory over number 4-ranked Florida, Florida State, Duke, and Stanford. The 14-over-par victory is the first team title of the season for the 15th-ranked Razorbacks. The Razorbacks next head to the links Monday for the Jack Nicklaus Invitational in Dublin, Ohio.
Tonight's weather forecast calls for clear conditions with a low in the mid to upper 50s. Tomorrow, expect clear skies with a high of 86 degrees in the Arkansas River Valley. And in northwest Arkansas, expect clear skies with a high around 81 degrees and a 20% chance of rain. Tomorrow night, expect partly cloudy conditions with a 50% chance of rain and possibly a thunderstorm, with a low in northwest Arkansas 57 degrees and a low of 64 degrees in the Arkansas River Valley.
This is Ozarks at Large. The Northwest Arkansas Community Correction Center is in downtown Fayetteville, a residential facility for women who are incarcerated from across the state. Some of the women at the facility have been participating in a writing class this year, and many of their words will be part of a stage reading Thursday night at St. Paul's Episcopal Church in downtown Fayetteville. The Northwest Arkansas Prison Stories Project is a reality in large part because of Kathy McGregor, a professional storyteller who moved to the area about a year ago. She says she became familiar with the concept of prison stories when another storyteller, Elaine Blanchard, started such a program in Memphis.
It was such a good idea for Memphis, and Memphis has benefited from it so much. You know, what can we make this available for other prisons, particularly the one here in my new community? So the Arkansas Arts Council I applied for and received a small grant to study with Elaine back in Memphis. So I spent a couple of weeks with her there, and which is also sort of an experiment to see if we can create some kind of program that we can teach other people around the country so that this project can spread.
Kathy McGregor presented the outline of how such a program could work to prison officials in Fayetteville and began attending training that was offered to volunteer programs at the facility. Once she had the proper approval, she met with Erica Wilhite, an actor and the artistic director of the Artist Laboratory Theater in Fayetteville. Kathy had seen the Art Lab's production of Sheet Fort Theater, a stage reading of found texts like advertisements on Craigslist that had been edited into a narrative arc. Kathy approached Erica about a possible prison stories project, and soon both were facilitating 90-minute sessions Monday and Wednesday nights for 4 months inside the Correction Center on College Avenue. Both say the sessions were rather informal.
Once we're in the classroom with the women, it's whatever we decide to do using that framework. We've never been, they've never policed us or...
They won't let us bring snacks, though.
We can't have snacks. They have police us that way. We can't have snacks.
While hostess cupcakes are contraband, both women stressed there was never censorship from authorities at the center when it came to the writing sessions. Kathy and Erica were also allowed to bring in a few guest speakers, artists, and musicians.
Shannon Wurst was our first artist. She came and helped the women write a lullaby to their children and put it to music. Joanne Kaminsky came and did mask making with them, which was phenomenal. And then they told the stories of their masks. And Carolyn Briggs, who is an author and screenwriter for Higher Ground, the film Higher Ground, came. We screened, the entire prison got to screen that film. And then she came on a Saturday and answered questions and comments about what it was like to be a writer on a faith journey, and then become a screenwriter for this film, which got a lot of recognition. So we made that available to everyone at the prison.
Thursday night, five actors will read the script that Erica has developed. The night begins with a reception at St. Paul's Episcopal Church at 6:30. Erica says the performance will then follow at 7:30.
We enter the performance, and it's a staged reading by five local actresses of a script that's probably about an hour and 15 minutes. And it's comprised of their personal story. Some are their own words, like oral storytelling, interviews that we've captured by audio and transcribed, but most of it is their creative writing. And so my role in this has been to curate, so to speak, their writing in a dramatic form.
Kathy McGregor says for many of the women who participated, it was the first time in a long time, for some the first time ever, that writing their words down on paper had been strongly encouraged.
At the last of the classes was a sort of a going away party for us, and I gave them a folder to keep their writings, a yellow notebook, a fresh pen, and a book of poems, because they really, really loved poetry and discovering poetry. And these were hardcover copies that I found online at used bookstores. And one of the classmates burst into tears when she got her book and started crying and said, "I'm 26 years old, and this is the first book that anyone's ever given me." Mm-hmm. And it was just, one of those moments where if I ever felt like I was too tired or it was costing too much money and too much time and I didn't know if I wanted to do this again, that was all I needed to hear.
Kathy says it's impossible to know for sure if these past 4 months will have a dramatic, lasting impact on the lives of these women after they're released. But she says the evaluations written at the end of the work proved to be touching and strongly suggested the classes were a help while the women were incarcerated. Erica Wilhite says those evaluations do provide a sense of hope.
I have to share, it wasn't in the evaluation, but in a thought that one of our ladies was having, as she wrote down in an essay, but of what her future, her perfect like day would be in the future. And she said she would go to school for cosmetology, but so that she could afford college. And she would put herself through college so that she could be a writer, and that she saw herself as an accomplished writer being read by everyone all over the world. And that's not a dream that she would have had before this program.
The Northwest Arkansas Prison Stories Project performance, a stage reading, will be Thursday night at St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Fayetteville. The reception is at 6:30, the reading an hour later. There is a suggested donation of $10 for the performance. Money raised will be used to further fund the project. Earlier that day, the actors will perform the reading inside the Northwest Arkansas Community Correction Center for the entire prison population and the staff. This is Ozarks at Large.
This Halloween season, the essence of the Great Houdini will make a ghostly appearance on three separate occasions in Eureka Springs. The popular turn-of-the-19th-century escape artist will be brought to life by illusionist Sean Paul and his partner Julianne. In advance of the events, Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich decided to test Sean Paul's skills by handcuffing him in the KUAF News studios.
Now, this one goes on first.
Oops,
yes,
sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
And the second one?
Right.
Latch
okay.
tight.
Right.
Let me see if it's locked.
Okay.
All right. It's locked. And it's got kind of a
okay,
hinge.
Okay. Now try and pull them off of my hands.
They're
all right?
hinged. Okay.
Pull them off.
Two coughs. Heavy duty steel. There's no way I can pull them off.
Right. Okay. So it's quite challenging for me to even unlock it myself.
With the key. You just
all right. Go ahead and unlock me. Go ahead and unlock it. Would you?
Okay. Yes. No, I can't barely unlock it.
It's,
okay.
it's a struggle even to unlock it with
yes,
the key.
Yes.
All right. So now go ahead and lock me up again.
Okay. This is so fun locking you up.
Yes.
Because he's really cute.
Okay. All right.
Put the key down.
Right. And so now I'm going to step behind the counter here.
Okay. In the KUAF studio newsroom.
Right. Mm-hmm. So now.
Sean Paul's squirming around. And I can't. Oh. He's grimacing as he's trying to get the cuffs off. Hey, he He got him off.
These are much tougher than probably any handcuffs you've ever seen.
For a heavy-duty criminal.
That's right.
Yes.
A hardened criminal. All right.
But you could describe Sean Paul as a hardened illusionist. He and his partner and spouse, Julianne, a stage medium, devote their days and nights to honing their performance art, which they call intrigue theater, now showing at Gavioli Theater in Uptown Eureka Springs.
The Gavioli is an amazing venue. I would say that it's both intimate and absolutely intriguing. A stone building with a bell tower, beautiful, amazing stained glass windows. And we've structured the environment to feel like a Victorian theater or parlor performance.
From the moment this beautiful young couple step on stage, regaled in their Victorian dress, they capture your imagination with feats of psychokinesis, mentalism, even clairvoyance. Audience members, some of whom agree to be hypnotized, are routinely asked to join in their act.
In the last year, we've added two segments that really, quite literally, bring people to the edge of their seats. And it's an amazing experience for me as a performer to look forward. Look at the audience and see people leaning forward and hearing nervous laughter. And I have to say, prior to doing Intrigue Theater, I've never experienced that, where people really can be, you can see people in the audience that they're legitimately freaked out.
And through October, Sean Paul and Julianne plan to take things a step further by staging several free public performances in homage to historic escape artist Harry Houdini.
He's America's first superstar. There's so much, there's so many parallels between Eureka Springs and the life and the career of Harry Houdini. The mantra of the town of Eureka Springs is the extraordinary escape.
The great Harry Houdini, born Eric Weiss in Budapest, Hungary in 1874, emigrated with his family to Wisconsin when he was only 4 years old. Uneducated, but with a penchant for acrobatics and competitive sport, Harry, as a young man, fell in with circuses and medicine shows, where he picked up the art of escaping, first from handcuffs, then later canvas mail bags, large metal milk cans and packing crates, and eventually straitjackets suspended from great heights, something Sean Paul will attempt on October 4th in Eureka Springs at noon.
Thursday, October 4th at noon. The newspaper, the Citizen newspaper, in a classic Houdini manner, it was very common for the newspaper to issue a formal challenge to Harry Houdini, and I've accepted it. And we decided that we couldn't get permission to hang over the downtown area of Eureka Springs, so we turned to the Crescent Hotel, and they offered the edge of the observation deck, the top floor, where I will be hoisted up by my feet in a straitjacket, and they're only going to let me down if I can free myself.
70 feet above the front steps of the Crescent Hotel. Then, on October 20th at 7 p.m. in downtown Basin Spring, Sean Paul will attempt the Houdini milk can escape.
So 2 weeks later, following, you know, provided it's successful and I don't get hurt with the extraordinary escape of a suspended straitjacket, we have located and obtained a 70-year-old milk can. It's of the era of Houdini, and it's airtight, it's waterproof, and it holds 40 to 50 gallons of water. So we will pass the lid through the audience, the crowd, and have somebody bring it back up to us, and then they can inspect the milk can itself filled with water, and then I will get inside and we will have representatives there that will padlock the lid shut. And what we'll do is we will ask the audience, once they see that lid come down on the milk can, to all take a big deep breath and hold their breath and wait for me to emerge from behind the curtain.
Of course, Julianne will be on hand for all the events, just in case.
I think I'll probably just be helping put the cuffs on, helping with the lid. We will have somebody looking all of that over to, you know, make sure it's, you know, airtight and he can't get out. But I will be standing by, and he will have a wrench inside of the can in case there is a problem and he can't get out, and he's going to clunk the side of it. And I'll have to make the announcement that we have to get him out.
Through decades of escape acts, Houdini almost lost his life just once in 1915 while being buried alive in California. For a time, he served as president of the Society of American Magicians, still in existence. And he was an associate of noted physician and writer Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, an avid follower of spiritualism, of which Houdini was a skeptic. Houdini even tried to outlaw fortune-telling, all the rage in 1925 across America, by championing a congressional bill. It failed. Houdini's most famous escape was from a glass water torture chamber. He spent the remainder of his life performing on the road. He died on Halloween night in 1926 from complications of an appendicitis. And on Halloween night in Eureka Springs, Sean Paul and Julianne will host a seance after a special evening performance of Intrigue Theater.
Then I will give the history and the background and the relevance to what we're doing that night. I'll even give a demonstration like Harry Houdini would as far as some of the things he would do in debunking fraudulent mediums. And then when it's time, close to midnight, to reach out and make contact, then I will turn it over to Juliana Fay, where she will conduct the actual seance.
And hopefully we'll come through with Houdini. Hopefully Houdini will come through. But being that it is at the Crescent and there is so much activity there, ghostly activity, I don't see a problem with at least communicating with one or two of the other spirits that might be around. So yeah, we'll see. I think it'll be
an exciting evening.
Great night, yeah.
An exciting evening with the spirit of Houdini. By the way, Sean Paul and Julianne have been married for 11 years. Clearly a very magical relationship. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
My news director wanted me to ask you, do you have insurance?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Who's your insurance provider?
I'm not going to say that. Lloyd's of London.
To learn more about the two free public Houdini escapes and the live seance, visit intriguetheater.com.
It's Wednesday, October 3rd, 2012. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
With us is Becca Martin-Brown. She's features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers. Need to clear something up that we mentioned. We were talking yesterday about the comedian Ralphie May. Mm-hmm. I said he was born in Arkansas. Yeah, not quite true. He was born in Chattanooga, but raised in Clarksville.
Okay.
So he's from Clarksville, but technically, well, not technically, actually born in Chattanooga. So wanted to clear
is
that up.
Is there anything that he doesn't know?
There are some things.
Yeah, there are a lot.
Very smart. Okay, if there were something we were going to run off and do tonight, following on the heels of Bikes and Songs, how about a tuba fest?
How about it?
I love tubas. And euphonium. Euphonia.
Yes. The Octuba Fest, which is high school and college euphonium and tuba players, the UAFS Tuba Euphonium Ensemble, UAS faculty members, and UAFS brass students are performing tonight at 7:30 in the Reynolds Room at the Smith-Pendergraft Campus Center in Fort Smith. It is free. And if your hearing hasn't come back from Bikes and Songs, it should work out fine.
It's become quite a tradition on the UAFS campus. They've been doing this for a while.
And if you have not been yet, the second week of the run of 33 Variations opens tonight at University Theater in Fayetteville. I am in love with this show. A modern-day musicologist who's in love with Beethoven and is haunted by her illness and her unfinished work with him, and a juxtaposition with Beethoven, who is haunted by illness and madness and his unfinished work. Okay, Amy Herzberg says that everybody who saw any part of a rehearsal cried. I'm not supposed to tell you that, but I think you should be prepared.
It's a relatively recent play, too. On Broadway in 2009, nominated for the Tony for Best Play.
8 o'clock tonight through this weekend. Tickets are $16 for adults, 575-4752. And tomorrow,
place I might be, but I'm guessing Antoinette might not be.
Oh, I'd like to be there. It is the Arkansas Insect Festival.
Yeah, no.
They have an insect and spider zoo, cockroach races.
I
lived in that apartment. Children's crafts and games, honeybee display,
9 to 4 is at the Pauline Whitaker Arena on Garland Avenue in Fayetteville, hosted by the UA Etymology Department. It's free, and they'd love to see your smiling buggy faces.
And several years ago, I went, and they one of the grad students put a hissing Madagascar cockroach on me.
Ugh.
One of the more surprising experiences of my life, I didn't freak out. It was kind of
but
soft.
But you like bugs.
I don't like bugs.
You're interested in bugs.
I am.
I am not.
You know, at the Insectarium in New Orleans, they have this huge beetle that's I don't know how many years old for a beetle. And you can pet him. And why not?
I think and it's all insects all the time. It's a fun time. No chiggers, however.
Oh, well, there you go.
You should see Antoinette's face.
Thank you, Becca.
Okay, that's free.
Becca Martin Brown is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
The individual World Poetry Slam takes place in Fayetteville through the end of this week. With me in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio is Houston Hughes, who is PR and web director for the event. Houston, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Individual World Poetry Slam. There are a lot of words in there that could mean a lot of things. Let's talk about world first. This is a world championship?
This is a world championship. There's a sort of governing body for Poetry Slam right now called NPS, the National Poetry Slam. Actually, PSI, sorry. They're called PSI, Poetry Slam Incorporated. And they're the nonprofit group that runs most of the Poetry Slam events that happen in North America. Well, the ones that are certified. It's sort of like the NBA. You know, you decide to play with the club. You can go play on your own if you want, but you're not going to get the benefits of the nonprofit. You're not going to get the community that comes with that. And you're not going to get the big three tournaments, which you have to be certified to get entry to. The big three tournaments are the National Poetry Slam, which is a team competition that happens every August. There's the Women of the World Poetry Slam, which is a women's only competition that happens in the spring. And then there's our event, the Individual World Poetry Slam, which happens every year about this time. And it changes, each of those events changes city from year to year.
Can you tell me where some of the past World Poetry Slams have taken place?
Yes. 3 years ago, it was in San Francisco. 2 years ago, it was in Charlotte. And last year, it was in Cleveland.
And now Fayetteville.
Yes.
We're smaller than those three places.
We are. We are much smaller.
How does Fayetteville land the world the individual World Poetry Slam?
Well, a lot of things had a factor in that. One, 2 years ago, I went to the World Poetry Slam and placed 12th in the world. And after we had success with that, that was sort of the first time people had really heard of Fayetteville. We'd been sending a couple of teams to nationals, and way back in the day, you know, we had people like Clayton Scott and Brenda Moosey, who everybody knows about. But we'd kind of been quiet on the national scene for a little while, and so we've started sending teams on a regular basis. And then after that, we sort of came back from nationals a year ago, 2 years ago, and started talking about, well, how can we bring something like this to our town? Because Fayetteville is such a great town for the arts, but it's also a place not a lot of people have heard of. So we had to go through a vetting process. Which involved us telling them where we would keep all the poets, where we would have all of our events, who we would bring on for sponsors, just a sort of speculative thing. And we submitted that along with a bunch of other cities, and ours was the one that was accepted.
So the competitors, I assume the people who have won at other national competitions are coming here?
Yes, absolutely. There are two types of competitors, well, three, that will be competing here. One, which is about half the group, are representatives from Poetry Slam Inc.'s certified venues from both across America and in Canada. And we've got, I think, one poet coming from Australia and a couple of other places as well. So those are the certified slams that had competitions in their city or their country to see who was the best slam poet in that area. And they had their one winner, and then that winner is coming here. We also have what's called storm poets, which are individuals who are touring too constantly to sort of have a home venue, things like that. And they're able to put in a request, and they have to prove that they're, you know, helping poetry, that they're constantly doing something, that they have growth, you know, basically prove that they belong within this group, and they're accepted. And then we have one spot in the tournament that's saved for the Last Chance Slam.
And the Last Chance Slam is tonight.
Yes. Yes, it is. It's tonight at 8 o'clock in the University Theater at the University of Arkansas Union, the Union Theater. And so absolutely anyone can come and compete in that event. And it's free to the public, too, so everybody should come and watch it. But anyone who wants to can come and compete in that event. And the person who wins that event has the $150 registration fee waived, so they get that last slot in the tournament.
And it'll be one person.
One person.
One last person to get in.
Absolutely, and it could be anybody here in Fayetteville.
Could it be someone who's driven here from Topeka or
it could.
Casper,
it could.
Wyoming?
It could. I know the people, I believe the person from Australia is coming with one person. I know that the two poets from Canada are each coming with at least one other person who wants to compete in this. So it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a lot of people trying to get this one last spot.
Through the week now, there will be workshops and other sorts of things, including something called the Haiku Deathmatch.
Yes.
Haiku Deathmatch.
Haiku Deathmatch is happening at 11 a.m. at the library on
Friday, isn't it?
Friday. Yes, yeah. It is. And so, oh man, the Haiku Deathmatch is this wonderful thing where everyone comes in and you have to have a lot of haikus to come in because we put everyone's name who wants to compete into a bracket just like you would any sort of tournament.
So this is like the NCAA basketball tournament?
Yes, yes, it is.
And, I like everything about this.
Okay, and so we get all the names in a basket and draw two of them out, and then the two people come up. And so in the very first round, it's going to be best 3 of 5. So you'll have one person who's white and one person who's red. We just have little, like, headbands to put around them. And then one person reads, the other person reads. And there has to be absolute silence in the room, no matter how funny, how heartbreaking, whatever the haiku is, there has to be absolute silence after each one. And we'll have three judges that we've pulled from the audience, just random people. And those three judges will each either vote white or red. And then we keep going like that. And it's, you know, the first round is best 3 out of 5. And then as you go on, it gets more and more.
And you don't repeat one of your haikus.
No, you are not allowed to repeat any of your haikus at any point.
All through the week, there are all these other things. One that's a not sort of a competition, but an event called Making a Living Through Poetry.
Yes, absolutely. That's going to be run by Amoja Sumler and Keita Marshall out of Little Rock, Arkansas. They're both poets who are good friends with our slam up here in Fayetteville. They're sort of our sister slam. And, you know, they're going to be telling you how to start off doing a living with slam, how to get into schools, how to market yourself, things like that to make making a living as a poet easier on you.
The finals are Saturday night.
Finals are Saturday
Verizon
night.
Ballroom.
Yes, Verizon Ballroom, 7 o'clock. Absolutely huge deal. The mayor's going to be there opening up for us. We're going to have Sean James, who's a wonderful local musician. He's going to be playing for us. And then the 12 poets who have scored the best over the Thursday and Friday night competitions will be there. And it's going to be elimination. So, you know, you the first round is 12 poets. We cut off 4 of them. We go down to 8 poets. We cut off 4 more. Mm-hmm. And then we end up with a final 4.
Is there a hometown favorite?
We decided this year to not send a representative because we felt like there would be too much home team advantage.
I like that.
And, you know, most of us, the folks at Ozark Poetry Slam and Fayetteville Word Wars who are most involved in this, which is myself, Heather Polly, and Doug Shields, we're sort of the ones heading this up. You know, we knew none of us would be able to compete because we're going to be running around doing everything at all these different venues, so...
And you mentioned different venues. This is a festival.
Yes.
You look at where things are happening. The library, on campus, Nightbird Books, Rogue, Scarpino's.
Yes.
It's a multi-venue.
Yes, absolutely it is. And we're trying to make sure that there are events that everyone wants to come to. I mean, we've got... on Saturday morning, we've got a youth open mic, which is being hosted by Clayton Scott, and that's specifically for people under 21 who want to come and be a part of this.
And Clayton has worked with students and schools for a long time around here now.
Absolutely, absolutely. He and I kind of do the same thing around here. And then we've got, you know, for a more adult event, we've got the Burlesque and Poetry Showcase, which is mm-hmm. happening at Scarpino's at midnight on Thursday night, which is where we've got poets are going to come up and do sexy poems, and then we're going to have the burlesque dancers going kind of in between the poems.
All right.
And, you know, we've got a little bit of everything. And the Extreme Poetry Championship is this wonderful thing that this guy named Rob Sturm out of Oklahoma City has started up, which is a mixture of professional wrestling and poetry.
Okay. Wait. Whoa. It is what now?
It's a mixture of WWF-style wrestling and poetry. So everyone has a persona. Everyone has a costume.
Okay.
There are groups. There are organizations within this. And so you stay in your persona, and you compete against each other with poems.
So you could have a mask, a cape.
You can have anything you want.
You can't hit your opponent with a steel chair, however.
I'm not going to give away anything that's
going to
happen.
Okay, my goodness. Okay, finally. An actor's about to do something, you say, break a leg. What do you say to a poet, a slam poet, who's about to go on stage? Is there a good luck?
Oh, Some people say spit poet. Some people say speak poet. Some people say go in. And a really popular one that some people hate is don't be nice.
Well, go in.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Houston. This is Ozarks at Large. Last week, Jonathan Trawick and Cody Marriott played all over Fayetteville. They had spots on stage at a few local clubs, busked along Dixon Street, and in the middle of all that, Jonathan brought his guitar and Cody brought his fiddle to the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio. Jonathan lives in Fayetteville, Cody in southern Missouri. I asked them how they first met.
I've known Jonathan about 10 years, probably. Pretty close to that, yeah. I would say.
And how'd you guys meet?
Playing.
Yeah, well, I was at a fiddle contest in Grove, Oklahoma, I think.
It was Clarksville.
Was it Clarksville?
Yeah, well, Grove, yeah, but kind of Clarksville.
So Clarksville was the first one then? It was the Clarksville Peach Festival.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. They had a fiddle contest there, and he was there.
And so you saw him perform, Jonathan? And
yeah, I saw him play. I was just starting out on guitar at the time. I was 18, you know, and that's when I first started picking up an instrument and playing, picked up a guitar, backing up my dad in contests. And, you know, there's Cody and Bubba and some other guys who are just, you know, really kicking butt and have been playing way longer than I have, you know, and I'm like, oh, man, I want to do that.
Yeah, Cody, did you grow up in the Missouri Ozarks?
I grew up at the Lake of the Ozarks, if you still call that far north the Ozarks. I lived there until probably my freshman year of high school, and then we moved down to Ava, so ever since then, I was as an Ozark native, I guess.
Yeah, we'll count that. Now, I know from my previous conversation on the air with Jonathan that he came from a musical family and exposed to music. Same for you?
Same for me. My grandpa was a fiddle player. My dad plays the fiddle. One of my great uncles on my grandma's side was a fiddle player. Steel guitar players, and there's all kinds of musicians in my family. It's a family tradition, yeah.
So do you even remember not playing a musical instrument?
No, actually. My dad, even before I could really start playing, he would make me listen to these old fiddle recordings, and he'd make me memorize the tunes, and he'd say, well, what tune is this? What tune is this? What tune is this? And I started playing, I wasn't quite 8 years old, but I'd say I was probably 10 before I really realized I could do something with a fiddle other than just scratch around on it.
So, Jonathan, what was it about his playing that made you go up and introduce yourself?
I grew up with fiddle playing and fiddle music. You know, my dad played, but they didn't do anything like what they were doing, what Cody was doing. It was just a different deal. That was probably my introduction to Texas style, what people refer to as Texas style, you know, from Benny Thomason and Omega Burden and Major Franklin and those guys. Bobby Chrisman, you know, the kind of music that they play. And, you know, that was my, introduction of that.
So you met about 10 years ago. How long before you were playing together?
Probably that day.
Minutes?
Yeah, that day, yeah.
And then off and on, like, the fiddle contest is a lot like a rodeo circuit. You know, rodeo cowboys, they go to every rodeo every weekend and they see the same cowboys that go. It's just like that in the fiddle contest circuit. Usually it's the same bunch of people that go. And it's regional. You know, there's a lot of contests in Missouri, and there's a few in Arkansas. I wish there was more. I wish there was more everywhere. But I've played as far as Weezer, Idaho. You know, that's a ways away. And I've played as far south as Corpus Christi, Texas, and as far east as you can go in Tennessee.
Well, when you guys get together here or somewhere else, you play, and it's possible that we might see you on Dixon Street just setting up shop.
Yeah, that's,
we play all kinds of stuff, fiddle tunes, bluegrass, swing, Bob Wills,
country. Some Americana roots.
Oh, yeah, all kinds of stuff. We play what we enjoy, I guess.
Our neighbor right now, we can't play very, very late at night.
They keep us, yeah.
So that's our free place to go jam is down on Dixon Street. Yeah. Nobody can gripe at us there.
So you have an open studio.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and if they're nice, they'll even throw dollar bills at you.
And right when you're busking and you open the case, do you use the case?
Yes.
That's the standard. You got to seat it, right? You got to put a few of your own dollars in there
absolutely.
So people know that's what's happening.
Yeah, you got to bait it a little bit. The other day I put a five in there.
Ah.
Yeah.
I was a little overzealous, I think. I think we made a dollar, so we had my five and another dollar.
I was going to ask, what's the Dixon Street busking? I mean, you go to certain places, obviously, Cambridge, and there are other places where it's a well-known tradition and people know what you do, New Orleans.
Branson, Missouri is like that.
Really? Branson's good for it. What about Dixon? Still learning?
They are, but people are really – I think they're very receptive to live and local music, and I think just from what little time I've been around Fayetteville, it seems like they really do support their musicians around here. Everybody that I've talked to has just been, oh, you play music, and it's so great. You know, like I like that people actually appreciate it.
You know, if you're on Dixon Street, say after 10 o'clock on a Thursday, Friday, or Saturday night, it seems that there's so many people who know exactly where they're going.
Right.
Is it hard to – because I'd imagine to get somebody to stop and listen – You gotta have something going, right?
You gotta do something a little different than everybody else.
There aren't too many fiddle players floating around.
Yeah,
when you pull out a fiddle or a mandolin, you know, people usually come over and they look just at least to check it out because it's different. But I'm enjoying it here. I've never really done the busking thing before, but.
It's a good way to practice.
Yeah, it is.
Absolutely.
Okay. Do you mind practicing for us right here?
No, not at all.
What are you gonna do? Do you know?
You want to play a little Dixon Street breakdown?
Sure.
This is a tune he wrote the other night.
On Dixon Street.
Hey, that's great. You wrote that just the other night?
Mm-hmm.
When you're looking for inspiration, or maybe not even looking, but when inspiration strikes you, okay, you're on Dixon Street, you want to write something, how does that process work?
Well, we didn't actually set out to write anything. We were just sitting there playing, and I was kind of just thumping out a little thing, and I was like, oh, that's cool. And that's usually how it happens. It usually happens by accident.
He'll catch a lick, and I'll catch a chord, and then, we'll just kind of feel it out until it happens.
That's basically how it happened, usually by accident.
Now, Jonathan, the last time you were here, you didn't play, so I'm glad you brought your guitar. Tell me, this, you've had this guitar for a while.
Actually, this is Cody's guitar I got today. This is a Yamaha. FG300 from late 60s.
Yep, it's a
great guitar.
So it's older than you.
Yes. it is. It's a really, really good friend of mine up in Missouri. We played a benefit for his wife. She had cancer really bad, and she's a lot better now, thank God. But, yeah, he gave me that guitar, so for doing the benefit. So it has sentimental value as well as it is a great guitar.
What is it like to find a kindred spirit in music? Someone who will play with you, write with you?
It's better than anything else. I don't know. It's just I think musicians have they just naturally congregate to each other. They, even without the music, you know, I think that it's a fellowship thing just amongst musicians. I think there's something inside of us that draws us to each other. I don't know what it is, but I definitely think that musicians are different than the normal people, and I don't know why
we're not normal.
And we're not normal.
Now, you're here together, you play together, but you also often play with other folks as well, right?
You're playing with, Jason Plummer right now?
Yeah, I play with a country band in Missouri right now. It's called Jason Plummer and the Working Man Band. It's a really great band. We do a lot of original music. We're actually playing, we're the headlining band at the World Finals Bull Riding in Vegas this year, so I'm really looking forward to that. We got 4 days in Vegas. And
wow.
I'm going to enjoy myself.
Wow.
But we do.
That's in December, right? That's
it's
always
in
December.
October.
October. Oh, okay.
The 24th through the 28th, I think, is our dates. He plays with Allison Williams and the Hot Ash String Band. We're starting a new, he is anyway, he's kind of the band leader guy, bluegrass band called Gravel Train. Allison Williams is also in that, and Derek Lynn, and me and Jonathan. All the fiddle contests that we go to, you know, we just play a lot.
Well, where can people see you next or soon or learn about either of you or both of you more?
Well, with my country band, on October 5th and 6th, we're playing at kind of a club in Springfield, Missouri called Midnight Rodeo. It's for a thing called Farm Fest. I'm not exactly sure what the festival entails, but that's where we're playing.
There's also going to be a Aquafire, the new restaurant there on Dixon. They're opening their bistro there, and they're going to start a bluegrass in the bistro.
Fun.
Gravel Train will be a part of that. So whenever Cody's around, he'll be a part of that as well.
Would you mind playing one more?
No,
absolutely not.
What do you want to play?
Do you want to sing one?
Sure. What do you want to sing?
Get your mandolin. I'd like you to play.
Oh, I'll play fiddle, man.
Okay. I can do that.
Jonathan's always going to tell someone to play the fiddle.
Yeah. Let's do Billy in the Low Ground.
Okay.
Thank you. That's fun. That's great. Thanks. Cody Marriott on violin, Jonathan Trawick on guitar. That is worth a couple of dollars in the case, don't you agree?
I would think so.
Come back anytime.
All right, thank you.
Both of
you.
Kyle. Thanks, Travis.
Thanks. Yep.
Support for KUAF comes from the 26th Annual Hospice Autumn Brunch, November 2nd, from 11:30 a.m. until 1 p.m. at the Home of the Dyers in Rogers. A seasonal buffet, live entertainment, and door prizes will be offered. Proceeds to benefit terminally ill patients in Northwest Arkansas. Tickets and more information are available at 444-9888 or wregional.com.
Support for KUAF also comes from Walton Art Center and the 10x10 Art Series, welcoming Caravanserai, a place where cultures meet, on Thursday, October 18th. This concert of West African traditional music explores the soul of Morocco at Caravanserai and features the Majid Bekaskanawa Ensemble and Brahim Fibrigani. Tickets and more information available at waltonartcenter.org or 443-5600.
Join KUAF Public Radio and NPR News for the first presidential campaign debate this evening at 8 o'clock. It will include anchored coverage from the University of Denver in Denver, Colorado. The first presidential campaign debate tonight at 8 on KUAF 91.3 FM.
We'll have all live coverage. We'll have live coverage of all the debates, including the vice presidential, presidential debate this fall on KUAF. Speaking of programming,
yes.
Don't forget, don't tell me, and it's new time, Saturday mornings at 9, beginning this weekend. Ask Me Another is now at noon on KUAF on Saturday. Sunday's now at noon, the return of the TED.
Radio Hour?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes. So that all starts this weekend.
Perfect.
Oh, and an additional night now of Shades of Jazz with Robert Ginsburg Saturday night at 10. He's expanded to two nights.
Well, there you go.
Local jazz, two nights. Ozarks, this is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Rogers, Magic Springs. Not the amusement park, but the community.
Where is that?
I'm glad you asked. It's on Highway 377, about halfway between Witz Springs and Snowball.
Of course.
Yes.
Everybody knows where that is.
You don't get there by accident. Or maybe you do. I don't know.
Maybe you do. Yeah. Okay. Well, anyways, busy things.
Gosh. We have now.
October is just.
We've really launched into it. Tomorrow, don't forget, is Dine Out for Peace, 14 restaurants in Fayetteville. Proceeds from whatever meal, breakfast, lunch, snack,
participating
dinner,
restaurants,
helps Peace at Home Family Shelter.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow night is also the opening of the Kathy Thompson exhibit at Walton Art Center.
Yes. Christine had a story about that, celebrating the 20 years of Walton Art Center.
Insect festivals tomorrow on the University of Arkansas. Uh-huh. Gridiron continues to roll for you.
Yes. Dress rehearsal tomorrow night, which is basically, we basically count that as like a third show for us. So a lot of people that can't make it over the weekend come and...
All lines learned, all dance steps memorized.
Sure. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
I'm Kyle Kellums.
Thanks so much for listening. Tune in tomorrow. Kyle will be back at noon with Christina Thomas.
That is correct.
And you and I will be back together again on Friday before I run off to Gridiron.
That's right.
Thanks for listening, guys.